Hello, it's Robert Bathurst here. I was one of the first guests on My Time Capsule, and Mike has asked me to tell you that you can now listen to the podcast ad-free by subscribing to Acast Plus. Details of how to join are in the description of each episode. Mike says it's very reasonably priced. In fact, Mike says it's a bargain. And who am I to disagree, locked here in his cellar? Anyway, for a small subscription, Acast Plus, My Time Capsule, ad-free. Free. Unlike me.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
Hello again, and welcome to My Time Capsule. My name's Mike Fenton-Stevens, and My Time Capsule is the podcast, which it's always been, where people tell me five things from their life that they wish they had in a time capsule. They pick four things that they cherish and one thing that they wish they could forget. My guest in this episode used to be an actress, but now fills her time with more fruitful pursuits, as you'll hear. Anne Bryson was half of the comedy duo The Flaming Hamsters, with a past guest of mine, Sarah Crowe, and together they were the Philadelphia cheese advert girls for many years. She was also on television and on film in The Bill, Doctor Who, The Steel, All About Me, Days Like These, Sometime Never, Space Vets, and The Best of Rory Bremner, as well as One Foot in the Grave, KYTV, City Lights, Only Fools and Horses, Inspector Morse, Hale and Pace, and lots more. Anne now lives in Suffolk, which is where I stayed with her before lockdown. Yes, remember that? I know it's a long time ago, but that's when I last stayed with her, when I was thinking of doing this podcast. And as an experiment, we decided to record an episode to see if it worked. I didn't think it would be released, but I recently listened to it again, and it goes without saying that I enjoyed it. And on our bonus podcast, which we produce for Acast Plus listeners, I played a small clip from it and asked if people thought it should be put out as a full episode. Everyone said yes. So here is the episode I recorded with Anne nearly 4 years ago. Doesn't time fly? I hope it demonstrates that people choosing four things from their life that they cherish and one they'd like to bury and forget is something that doesn't age easily. Here is my old friend, the lovely Anne Bryson.
So we've known each other a long time, haven't we?
We jolly well have.
When did we first meet?
I'm 37 now, and I think we must have met in...
when you were a tiny child.
Yes. I met you when I was 23, something like that, and I'm now 56. You do the math.
Yeah. God, that's got to be over 10 years.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
That's useless.
I used to be actually very good arithmetic because I was a barmaid. Two pints of lager, yeah, three gin and tonics, and that's £14.74, please. Thanks very much. I used to be really good at that.
Were you just guessing, or did you actually know that? Just make it up.
Sometimes I guess a little bit, yeah. No, my dad was always really good at arithmetic. It was one of his sort of party pieces, actually. You say, Dad, what's 13 times 70? And he'd go, 13 times 70, stalling for time, giving himself time to get it. And then he'd come out with the answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
9,100.
Is it?
Yeah. Let's see if I'm right. Let's look it up later.
Okay.
That was my immediate thought. So perhaps
so
I can do
really
it.
You're really good at it as well.
Perhaps I can do it.
Oh, no.
Am I right?
No. Completely wrong.
Completely wrong. Completely wrong.
Maths with Anne and Mike. The new approach.
How to get every problem wrong. Yeah. We're going to call it not the solution.
Yeah. Are you shit at maths? So are we.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So, right, we've got this time capsule.
Okay.
And you have to put five things into it from your life.
Okay.
So what's first?
The first thing into the time capsule is my roller skates.
Yeah. From when?
From when I was about 8 years old. My dad was in the Navy and we lived on a naval base and it has an airfield at the back. So it's all really nice, smooth tarmac. And my brother was, still is, 7 years older than me, 8 years older than me. Anyway, he had a Honda 50. So I put my roller skates on and I would hold on to the back of the Honda 50 and we'd go scooting around the airfield.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was completely brilliant.
What sort of speeds?
Oh, you know, 100 miles an hour. maybe 15. Yeah. There's the maths thing again.
But fast enough.
But to feel like you're whizzing. Mm. And then we had an idea to use those bungee ropes. You know, those ones you used to have with the big clips. And so you clip that on the back and that, so that would give me more comfort. Then I felt like I was water skiing. And I was sort of like dancing. I just thought it was brilliant. I mean, we probably didn't do it that many times, but I felt as though we did it every day for, you know, it's like the endless summers of your childhood, aren't they? It was always sunny.
So he would have just got his Honda 50.
Yeah, but he got it a bit earlier because you didn't have to pass your test. And also because you were allowed to drive it on the airfield because of, you know, well, maybe I was a bit younger and he was a bit younger.
See, maybe that's why he was on the airfield and you were allowed to hang on the back. Because I think if he was allowed to go on the roads, he would have gone.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe he was 14. And I just remember it being the most thrilling thing. And obviously I fell over and, you know, grazed myself and you know, got very bad grazed knees and everything. But I didn't care in a way that I would have done if it had been something else. Oh, my knees are... I just went, oh, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Let's go again. Yeah. You know, again.
Again.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And he was incredibly indulgent. And that was how I... It was a really good feeling. And there were those really shit roller skates, you know, where you put your shoe in and then you kind of buckle over the, you know, and you tighten that and then you tighten it. It wasn't boots or anything sort of glamorous like that, that you'd see the ladies sort of chasseing around. And also you can make them bigger or smaller with that little key thing in the middle. So longer or shorter, really. They were quite shit roller skates.
But you're going to have them for years. You're not going to outgrow them.
No, ball bearings in the...
Why don't they have those in the Olympics?
Very good point.
I'd like to see that.
Honda 50 roller skate dancing with the cords. And the cords get longer and longer. Did you see how she did it with a meter? No way.
No way.
Yeah, I'm watching the 2 meter cords this afternoon.
So I suppose also, if I think about it, as a young girl on a naval base, you would have had long periods where your father was away. Or was he land-based?
Yeah, he was quite absent, to be fair.
Right.
Because he was sort of running everything and, you know, sorting it all out. And
He got very high up.
Mm, he did,
Admiral, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was king of the Navy.
King, yes.
Oh, yeah, he was the king of it. And at that time, I used to take a bus from outside the house down to Leon's Holland, then take the ferry and then take another bus to school.
The ferry across the other side of the harbour?
Yeah, to Portsmouth.
Wow.
Little tiny thing. And every week you'd get a season, you know, a weekly pass that they would clip. And it would be a different colour every week. It was always a really thrilling thing to find out. Oh, it's orange this week! Brilliant! Like, no orange ones. Oh, blue. Okay.
It was only so you couldn't defraud them.
Yeah, probably. And all printed on that really nice sugar paper. Probably with a stamp, actually. Probably not even printed. And Mrs. Lunny used to get me on the bus. So I used to get on the bus and she'd wave for me. So, because I was only little, actually. I was a bit littler than I'm thinking. I think I was sort of six.
Yes.
And she ran the Lancome counter at the big department store in Portsmouth. And she did the same journey. So on the way in, she'd look for me in the bus. Hello, hello.
How extraordinary.
And
so you went on your own?
Yeah. Yeah, because what's going to happen?
Well, you're going to be grabbed by a nutter. Yeah.
No, Mrs. Lunny's got me. I'm fine.
Oh, well, there you are then.
You know, she's got Lancome hand-creamed hands. They're not going to mess with them.
No. And yet the world was no safer.
Mm.
And yet people had far less fear, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. And also, my mum and dad weren't going to bloody drive me to school. Are you joking? It would take ages. We're far too busy.
Well, get the chauffeur to do it.
Yeah, sadly giving him the
day. He was king.
Yeah, oh yeah, he wasn't king then. So I just got the bus and the ferry and then the bus.
That seems only reasonable for a 6-year-old.
By the time I got to the ferry, I'm slightly building this up, because by the time I got to the ferry, there were other people from my school going there as well. So it was a little gang of us. Sometimes it was quite rough. Sometimes you got bits sprayed on your school uniform.
What was that school?
It was called Portsmouth High School.
Was it a nice school?
Yeah, I think so. The thing I really remember is a blind man coming to give us a lecture, but just a talk about kind of being blind. And I think, thinking about it, it might have been a religious thing, but he was so nice and he had a really nice dog. And he told us a story of why boxer dogs were like they are, was because when they were made blind, and they just, somebody called them and then they ran straight into the wall.
Was he cured halfway through? Ooh. I can see. Yeah. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
That would have worked, though, wouldn't it?
That would have been good.
That would have convinced a bunch of 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
Wow, there's no doubt about Jesus now.
Yeah. It's definite.
My children had roller skates that were plastic like that, though, so not as good, not with those leather straps and metal. Mm. But they came with a thing called a bubble sack. Yeah. Look at this thing. It's called a bubble sack. And it blows out bubbles when you rock and roll. No. And these skates are nice. They're from Fisher-Price. That was the advert.
And then as they rolled along, bubbles came out the back.
Well, if only. No, you had a roller skate and a saxophone that when you blew, it blew bubbles. So they decided to advertise them together. I always love those children's shoes that when they run, the lights come on the side. Why don't they make those for adults?
Yeah.
I'd buy them immediately.
Yeah. Not the roly ones, though, with the roly heels, because you'd fall over on
I would be flat on my back.
Especially after, if you're a little bit thirsty and a couple of dinner. Wait! Oh, no, someone's put those bloody heels on my
No, but the little lights on the side, I'd definitely go for that.
I think that's the way we're going with those massive trainers. You know, those sort of big kind of, mattressy, spongy trainers that people wear. You could put a telly in, the side of someone's leg, couldn't you? What is he going on?
Have weekend guests.
There'd be a whole new form of dwelling.
Lovely. All right, Annie, let's put your lovely roller skates from when you were a little girl. Put them in the time capsule. So we've got those. Now we've got four more things. What's the next one?
Okay, the next one is my first pair of jeans that were bought from a shop and not made for me by my mum.
How old were you when you finally got them from the shop?
About 13. 14. Mum, can I have a new pair of jeans? No. I'll make you them. No, you can't make jeans. Yes, I can. You can get the denim from C&H Fabrics on Western Road in Brighton. But you can't get the special button and you can't get the special zip and you can't... I can. And bless her heart, she did really, really try. But it was that slightly kind of, brushed denim. Not right at all. And everyone had FUs or, Because I went to a boarding school, and in those days, the Navy paid quite a lot of your fees. That was the kind of gig, one of the perks, like healthcare or dental now. They paid quite a lot of your school fees. So there was quite a lot of rich people at this school who just went, I'll just have another pair of FUs. Yeah, I'll have two pairs. And we weren't like that. So mum was desperately trying to make these things. And I was going, no, I just want to have the same ones as Charlotte Warrington, please let me have those ones. Anyway, after much, I don't know what happened, but I was allowed to go and buy this pair. It must have been in the sale. And OMG, I loved them. I absolutely loved them. And then, of course, it was the time when I never really grew very much, as anybody who knows me will testify. But the point when I'd got these jeans was the time when I did grow a little bit. And so they had to be let down. So I had that kind of white ring around the bottom, obviously flares. And then there was that kind of almost that sort of panic thing of going, shit, can't grow anymore, because then they won't be the right... Oh, I actually don't want to grow anymore now. Having wanted to be, tall and willowy and gorgeous... but then the jeans are going to be, and I'm never going to get another pair. It's going to be ages before I get another pair. So, this is a bit of a dilemma. Luckily, it wasn't one I ever had to face.
No, but then maybe the jeans suppressed your growth. You might have been 6 foot, Anne.
Fuck. You're allowed to swear on this.
You can swear as much as you like.
Great. That would probably, my life would have been so different if I had grown a bit.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
The people I know who are tall, I still slightly envy them.
They can reach things from tall, high up. They don't have to go and get the bloody chair to stand on.
And they naturally look down on you.
They naturally look down on you. When I buy a pair of trousers, there's about 9 inches at the bottom. I still have to pay for that fabric.
Do you know that thing of letting the jeans down and then eventually getting tall enough that you had to turn it down again and it became the edge of the material so it would fray?
Well, then they added the funny bit, the bits in the side.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. The bits, the floral bits and the, you know, the kind of triangular patterns in the side and the bits on the bottom.
Yes, it probably showed you how to do that on Magpie.
Yes. Yeah, we weren't allowed to watch telly, of course, but I'm sure, no. You know.
At boarding school, was that? Yeah. You're not allowed
Top
to watch
Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops, yeah.
Which was great. And Wimbledon. And something on a Saturday night. Would it have been Starsky and Hutch? One programme. 60 people all crowded around a massive telly.
Black and white?
I don't know, actually. I can't remember. I think it was coloured.
Good school, then.
Can't remember. Oh, yes, only the best, really.
Yes. Yeah. I remember the switch from black and white to colour, though.
Do you?
Yes.
Did you have telly? Were your parents quite kind of techie? Did you have tellies?
No, they were very proud. My father was very proud of the colour television. When we got it, the man came and installed it and set it up for us and showed us how to get the colour balance. Very technical, the whole thing. We couldn't believe it. And then my father came in and said, it can be more colourful than that. He thought he'd spent a fortune on it. He wanted more colour, so he turned the colour balance up so that it was vibrant.
People's I want faces. More colour.
More colour. I paid
good
for
money
colour.
For this, and I
want the
more.
Colour.
So they all looked as though they had something quite badly wrong with
yes.
them.
Yes.
Oh,
they
no.
Been sunbathing too
and
much.
Did you get it for the royal wedding?
Do you know, strangely, I think we got it for the moon landing. And that was in black and white.
Your dad would have been furious.
Yeah.
No, we didn't get it for the moon landing. We got ours really late.
Our first television, I think the screen was about 4 inches. And it had a magnifying glass in front of it.
Like they do when they're reading speeches. You know, those sort of...
That's how long ago it was.
That was must have been
God,
a
I'm
really
old.
Early one.
It was very early.
Yeah.
So at your school, were you allowed to wear casual clothes at the weekend?
And in the evening. When you got back from school, you changed into... You allowed 3 outfits per term. How whiff-a-rama were they by the end? Honky-hoo-hoo.
Oh, I can understand the pressure then of needing to match the other girls.
And just that thing of when you're that age, you know, I want to be completely individual and wear exactly what everyone else is wearing. That brilliant thing in Derry Girls, isn't it, when they're saying... She's saying she wants to wear a denim jacket to school because she's individual. Yeah. And then she turns up and they're all wearing a denim jacket. I thought we were being individual this term. and it's that sort of, yeah, that kind of vibe, really. And sometimes we'd all wear stripy socks, you know, those hoopy socks that went over your knee. Yeah. Should we all wear stripy socks? Oh, yes, let's all wear stripy socks tonight. God, it's quite embarrassing to think of it. But no, you changed out of your school uniforms. You didn't want to get any, you know, didn't want to get dinner down that or whatever. And you changed into your mufti.
And did you have to do the washing as well?
No, it's a bit in a wash bag. You had a laundry bag on the back of the door. That one time when I was a little bit older, we hid a bottle of vodka in it. Because we thought it was a nice soft place that they probably wouldn't look at. But of course, every time we opened the door, it made a loud clank. Yeah, got found out pretty quick.
So you were there right up until the end of school?
10 to 17 years old.
Wow. And yet you were happy there?
In the main, up till I should have left after my O-levels, because I wasn't very academic, and it was quite an academic school. So they wanted you to do very well, you know, they wanted you to pass exams so they could brag about you. And I wasn't very braggable. So I should have left then and done something else, but, you know. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yes. Thinking about it, no, it's not. Doing a bit of hindsight.
Oh. It was like a joke, wasn't it?
Like a joke, yes. But not a joke.
Yeah. Just didn't have the funny bit in it.
No.
Did it? Yeah.
That's but generally otherwise... what's missing from my jokes. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to take those little denim trousers and put them into the time capsule for you.
Thanks.
Lovely.
Yeah, but on top of the roller skates, because the roller skates might be a bit muddy, so I don't want to get any mud on my jeans. So
okay, no,
roller skates first, then the jeans.
Okay. Well, I'll put a piece of newspaper between them.
Okay, great.
All right, that's it. That's done. That's nice and neat. Now we're being neat. Let's neatly move on to number 3.
Oh, well, it's going to mess it all up a bit, really, because I'd like to put my dog Finley in. And I got him when I was sort of 27, I think, 28. A West Highland Terrier from Lenzie, Scotland. Mm. Got him as a puppy when I was doing a sitcom up there and had to bring him back down on the plane. The worst flight of my life, because they have to put him in a special place in a cage. And then you have to go and find them at the Heathrow Airport, and they're a little, tiny little puppy in a cage. Anyway, he was completely fine. And he lived for 17 and a half years. And he came uphill and down Dale with me. And he, you turn up at a rehearsal room, and people go, oh, you've got a dog. Oh, God, okay. Is the dog coming all the time? Well, you know, we'll see. Right, okay. And then about day three, they'd come in and say, we had some steak last night, a little bit left over. I just wonder whether Finley would like the steak. I'm sounding as though I worked only with very grand actresses the whole time. But that actually did happen. And by the end, he just sort of won everyone over, really.
Mm.
And he'd used to sit in dressing rooms, and I'd come off stage and I'd look, you know, go and talk to him. I used to think that he did go, yeah, you shouldn't, you know, you inverted that line. It didn't really work, did it? Yeah. Do it the same way before. Pick up the pace a bit on that second speech. It's not quite as good. Obviously, he didn't say that.
Well, strange enough, they do have those very intelligent faces. I remember his little white head. Mm. And they do that thing that some dogs do, but not many, which is they look at you and then they sort of cock their head to one side, don't they? As much as say, you know what you did wrong, don't you?
Mm. He was a really good judge of character, actually. When I met Sean McTurnan, who I married, dear reader, I met him. There were a few gentlemen callers I had, and Finley just kind of went, you are joking, no way. He's horrible. In hindsight, obviously. I'm giving Finley quite a lot more intelligence than probably he had. Or maybe I'm not giving him enough.
Mm.
Maybe I should listen to him more. But when I met Sean, he realised quite quickly that, love me, love my dog. And he just bought Finley lots of toys and treats. And Finley's like, oh, yeah, he's the one. Marry him, yeah. He's great. I really like him. You buy me things, I like you more. It's a really simple formula.
Yeah. See, I think for many years you were Anne and Finley.
He came everywhere. I was the mad eccentric woman with the dog in my 20s. It only got worse from there.
But you wanted to be, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him. And they're incredibly grounding. And they make you get up and go out and have a walk in the morning. Mm. The dog isn't here today and we haven't got up and gone for a walk for an hour, have we?
No.
Whereas if she was here, so we've got another dog now called Ruby. And if she was here, that would have happened. And it shakes your day down. You start on your walk going, right, I must do this, this and this and this. Oh, shit, that, oh, that. And by the time you get back, you go, oh, bollocks to that. I don't need to do that or that, but I must do that and that. And all the rest of the nonsense has, been left on the other side of the park.
And also that thing that if you're at a party in town having done a show or something, it's a bit like having children. Mm. Not quite the same responsibility, maybe, but certainly a responsibility that you impose on yourself, I think.
Absolutely. And that's quite annoying sometimes and quite great other times when somebody you don't want to do something, oh, no, I can't. Oh, I'd love to. Got to go back and feed the dog. Bye. And then other times when you wanted to, you couldn't. So sort of like life, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Finley was a lovely dog.
Oh, thanks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The sort of dog that I would like to have, actually. I think having a large dog is just too much work.
Yeah.
And they really do get in the way, don't they?
Yeah, I think they need to be able to be picked up and then carried on the escalator.
Very good plan, yes.
The dog we got at the moment is a cockapoo and she's very nice. But when you go on a walk at this time of year, you have to kind of come back and then carry them upstairs, carry Ruby upstairs and put her in the bath. Because otherwise you have to hoover too much and it's too boring. It's much easier, actually, just to put her, because her paws carry so much mud. So, why was I saying that? Oh, about carrying, yeah.
Yes.
I can just about carry her up the stairs. Well, no, I can easily carry her up the stairs.
But Finney, you could carry over the mud.
Yeah, yes. Well, Finney would have gone, oh, God, no. It's a wee bit muddy for me today. Do you mind if we don't? Because he was also gay. That was the other thing about Finley. You'd see him walking around the... I used to live in North London then, and he'd walk round the park and he'd go, oh, God, that collar, that lead. No, I don't think so. We're sort of Chick Murray, really, of Primrose Hill. And he used to wait outside the shops because some of the shops would go, oh, God, I can't have a dog in here. There was a shoe shop where I lived that had very nice, very expensive shoes.
A shoe shop?
Yeah.
Just, wouldn't let a dog in?
They were kind of quite posh shoes. I didn't go in there very much. I went in the sale. But Finney would just sit outside and wait and go, oh, God, we'll be here for 20 minutes. Shall we try them on? Okay. And people used to come and say, oh, my God, there's a dog outside. Does anybody know who the owner is? Yes, it's me. Oh, right. Because people were panicked that there was a, you know, stray dog on the loose. Obviously, you can't take him into, you know, food shops and things like that.
No, that makes sense. But shoe shops.
He used to go into the pet shop, which they had. It was quite low to the ground, obviously, being Westie. But he just used to help himself. And you get the thing, here's my 2 cans of dog food, whatever. You know, here's £1.70. And they say, yeah, plus the other fiver for marching a massive bone in his mouth.
It's not my dog.
Yeah.
It's not my dog.
Yeah, that's when I did disown him.
Oh, lovely. Well, let's put Finley into the time capsule.
Yeah, he does have to go into the time capsule.
Yeah, what a mess. There's going to be hair everywhere.
It's going to be hair everywhere. And someone's got to have done his paws before they go on the jeans. Oh, we've got the newspaper though, haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It'll be all right. So we've got roller skates, we've got jeans, we've got Finley.
Yeah.
And what else have we got?
Okay, I hope you're enjoying my chat with Anne. We, of course, take a short break here, but we'll be back round the table with Anne very soon. See you in a minute.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Welcome back to my chat at the Suffolk dinner table of the delightful Anne Bryson. Here are the rest of her time capsule choices.
The last one is a greenhouse.
A greenhouse?
Yeah. Because they're the most brilliant places. And I haven't got one at the moment, but I will have probably quite soon. And they're just brilliant places because when it's cold outside, they're warm inside. You do the most brilliant thing that you can do in the world, which is sow seeds in them. And tiny little seeds, and then it grows. Oh, and it's absolutely the most thrilling thing.
Mm.
And you can spend hours in there. And they're usually located just out of earshot of the house. So, oh, I don't know where she is. Anne! No, I can ignore that. I can hear a little in the background, and no, I can't hear that. Turn the radio up a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can be in there for weeks, having a really happy time, nurturing and creating and,
You put tiny little tomato plants in.
Yeah. No, you put the seed in.
Just the seed.
That you've saved from the tomato plants, the plants you've grown last year.
Oh, you are dedicated.
Yeah. Well, they do change in a year. Seeds can adapt even in 1 year. Because that's the other thing I did. When I stopped doing acting for a bit, I came up to live in Suffolk and I went to Otley College for a year to do horticulture.
Mm.
And then I did gardening. And a seed can adapt even... So if it's, dryer up here, for example, and wet in the West Country, a seed will adapt even in a year to that. But it, yeah, you want to keep your own seeds. Yeah.
Well, strange enough, I let my tomatoes self-seed. Is that a good idea?
Yes, very good idea.
I allowed tomatoes to fall onto the ground and then leave them. And then a bunch of seedlings come up and I pick from those.
Prick them out.
Yeah.
Mm. Brilliant.
That's
and that just
do.
Happens outside on your park?
No. I have a greenhouse.
You see?
So I completely understand your joy of walking into a greenhouse.
Mm. And the smell. The smell. Especially if you've got tomato plants in. And picking a tomato that has been warmed by the sun.
Oh,
you can't buy that. So easy. Mm. And so joyful.
Cucumbers? I get cucumbers right through the summer.
Do you?
Mm.
Now, do you grow the... which ones do you grow?
Well, I grow the little stubby ones, because I quite like them, but you have to peel the skin off.
Yeah, quite.
And then I grow the long...
The long ones.
Long ones, which are fabulous. And the flavour is marvellous.
Extraordinary.
I had an allotment for a while. And
did you?
And on that, I grew sweet corn. And the advice was...
Oh, get the water
really
boiling. Is it boiling? Is the water boiling now?
That's it.
Cut it.
That's it. That's exactly it. That was the advice I was given. Really
and they,
lovely.
And they're so sweet. More sweet than a Mars bar.
Mm.
I don't really like Mars bars, but
yeah.
The other sweets are available. But a Ripple, for example. More sweet than that, isn't it? So delicious.
Yeah. And I was told that that's exactly what you do, is you boil the water by the plant, right next to it on a primer stove.
Yeah.
And then you cut it and put it in the water and you boil it for a little bit and then you eat it. No butter, you don't need anything on it. It's so sweet and so tasty.
Mm.
And it's true. And they also said if you're foolish enough to take that sweet corn home with you and cook it 20 minutes later, it would have lost at least half its flavour.
Wow.
Mm.
So think about when it's been flown on a bloody plane.
Exactly.
Think about the difference in the...
And stored.
Yeah.
And then packed in plastic and then put on a shelf. So, in fact, sweet corn from a shop doesn't taste anything like sweet corn, really.
No. In fact, probably sweet corn that has been, you know, when they do, like, peas, and they grow quite a lot of peas near here, and when the Mr. Birdseye van comes around, it's extraordinary to watch how they process them, because they do freeze them on the field. So they pick them, and they have this really elaborate machine that pods them all and puts them into the freezer there and then.
So those adverts are true?
Yeah, they are true.
The moment the
all adverts are true, Mike.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Oh, yes.
I've done a number of them, and I didn't believe any of them.
Oh, yes, Mike. I don't know. I'm not being paid by Birdseye. No.
Okay.
No.
Obviously not. Findus.
Yes, Findus, obviously. But not Birdseye, no.
So do you think that's true then of sweet corn, that they pick it and strip
well,
it?
Well, I wonder whether it is, because actually frozen sweet corn is much better than, I think it's much more tasty than, you know, knackered old sweet corn that you buy from the supermarket that's been there for, you know, days, months, whatever, not months, but days. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you don't get the same thing because it's all off the pod, but... Pack it a bit in my freezer, actually.
Anyway, sweet corn. I'm not sure sweet corn's a good thing to grow in a greenhouse.
No, I don't think you could, actually. I think it'd be too hot for it, wouldn't
it? Yes, I think it would. But I think the wonder of a greenhouse is that very early in the year, you can start things growing.
Mm. I'm ahead of the game, thank you. Oh, no, my sweet peas are already up. Yours not.
Yeah.
Actually, sweet peas should probably start outside. But anyway, bad example. And yeah, you get a bit ahead, don't you? You get a couple of weeks' advantage. But it's just the joy of being in there, I think. And also the kind of tidy... Oh, it's a bit messy. Put all those nice labels in the nice little yogurt pot that I've bought out from the thing. And the pen, put that pen goes in there. And yeah, and have a sweep up. It was a bit... Oh, and then let's get the pressure hose on it and get all that green stuff off the outside.
How large would your greenhouse be?
Well... my dear, dear friend, Caroline Quentin, had a greenhouse built up here that was wooden and had a kind of seating area where you could have a nice cup of tea.
Wow.
And had integrated cold frames, which I think are, if you can't have a greenhouse, a cold frame is an invaluable piece of kit.
Yes.
And these were kind of built into the side of it. So that was quite... I'd have a massive greenhouse and quite a small house, actually.
Mm. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. There's so many hours you can spend in a greenhouse.
Oh.
Mm. I have a wooden greenhouse.
Do you?
Mm.
Oh.
That's an extravagance, isn't it, really?
Really? Did you put it in?
But no, some men came from Devon and constructed it for us.
But you wasn't there when you bought the house?
No, I absolutely put it in, yeah, in that sense.
Wow.
Because I knew I was going to give up my allotment, and I did love my allotment.
Yeah.
So I needed to grow something.
Yeah. I think the need to grow thing is quite primal, isn't it? And if everything's going wrong or... Actually, I remember when we lived in our old house and had a greenhouse, and my dad was, well, he was dying, really, and I was going up and down to Brighton, and we hadn't lived there very long, and my neighbour across the road was this lady, I mean, you know, she was my neighbour, she was a really sweet French lady, and she said, you know, is there anything I can do? And I'm thinking, well, not really, you know, unless you want to drive me up and down to Brighton, but, you know, thank you, that's so kind of you. Anyway, one time I came back, the greenhouse had all been watered and it had been tidied up. She was so meticulous. She was, you know, it had almost been hoovered. And she just left a little note saying, don't worry, I'll look after everything when you're not here. And she just kept everything. I mean, actually, it was the most bumper year because she looked after it so totally thoroughly. So my dad died in March. So it was, oh. And I thought, that's such a... So you completely understand that actually, with, you know, with everything then died, everything would then have died. Mm. You know, he would have died, all my plants for that year would have died, and that would have just made me even, you know, the sadness would have just continued to a much greater... Well, I'm comparing the death of my father to the death of some seeds. I don't mean... Dad, I'm not saying that. But it's the nurturing and the... That fulfills you. That it gives you joy and hope and pleasure, and then something goes wrong, and that you go, oh no! But actually, it's only a seed, and you can try again next year. It's yeah. Fine. It's a very important process, I think.
Mm. We live in the southeast, and we suffer from blight. So greenhouse is essential if you're going to grow.
And do you grow lots of different types?
Yeah, all sorts of types. And sizes and colours. And
also the ones to cook with as well, those nice big beefy ones.
Yeah.
They just taste so much better, don't they?
Mm. Even at the end of the year, I just have loads of tomatoes that I can freeze.
Do you freeze them whole?
I freeze some of them whole, the small ones.
It never occurred to me just to chuck them in the freezer until I saw this article of this woman who had tomato glut. And she just put them in a thing and put them in the freezer. Well, you're going to make a sauce with them anyway.
Yes.
And if you haven't got time to skin them and, you know, do all that, never even occurred to me to do that.
No, some people skin them, don't they? But,
But
lots of tiny ones, you see, I think it's perfectly fine just to put them all in, cook them, and then just whiz it up. You don't notice the skin. Don't starve yourself, Annie.
Tomato skins and
yeah,
sauce.
Yeah, it's good for you. No, all right. Okay. I'm not sure I want to know what the last item is in your...
Have you ever grown aubergines?
I'm not keen on aubergines.
There we are. That's the other thing, isn't it? You do grow what you like.
Yeah. So were you always interested in horticulture?
Yeah, my dad was always. I did spend quite a lot of time in the greenhouse with my dad. It was quite a bonding thing. And also, when we lived at the house where I had the roller skates, I mean, it was a naval house. We didn't own it. It was a naval house, and it had a big garden. And there was a chap who used to come and do the garden called Jock, and he was the gentlest Scottish, gentlest, loveliest gentleman. And in the holidays, he used to bring me a packet of spangles. So I was always in the greenhouse, searching out the spangles. I used to try and make it out that I was just going, hi, Jock, oh, hi, yeah, just hello.
spangles?
Oh, God!
For me?
Really bad acting, even in those days.
I'm going to take an enormous greenhouse. I'm going to put a really large one in for you, Annie. It's got different levels, my
really?
One. Yeah, I'm going to give you
stairs.
I'm going to give you height. You've got an area almost where you can grow sort of tropical things. That's what I'm
viewing.
A banana tree is going in.
You're giving me the greenhouse at Kew?
Yeah. Why not?
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
There you are.
Great. Okay.
That's the power I have.
Yeah. If it's a big thing, then that'll be great, won't
great,
it?
Great, yeah. Finley just scurrying around.
Yes. I'd be very happy.
And you roller skating around.
I need my roller skates.
You will need them to get
them
about. Fantastic.
Yeah.
In your jeans.
Yeah. Yeah, might not be. Might be one leg of the two. For both legs at the moment. But there we are. Great.
Oh,
this is going
times.
Really well.
Yeah.
And then the thing that I don't want, which is going to make me really happy if it's banished, anything to do with milk puddings. rice pudding, semolina, tapioca, and actually you can chuck fucking custard in there as well, to be honest. Oh, God, it's so disgusting. It makes me... And my mum really loved rice pudding. And Marks and Spencer's used to do one, you know, luxury rice pudding. And I used to get, you buy it and you put it in the microwave. Even the smell, oh, God, it looked horrible. And that horrible thick, that crust that...
A skin. Oh, dear.
And then you put jam in it. And people put jam in the semolina and make it all go pink. Oh,
does that go right back to school, then, yeah? Because they would be breaking through the skin.
And it had sat there since 10:30 on a hot plate, you know, a bit like a kind of harvester.
Tapioca and semolina. People always said it was frog spawn, didn't they? Oh. But when I went to a school, a boys' school, and they're not nice places. And in order that people didn't nick your dessert, it was very important, first of all, that you licked your cutlery, so that's mine. Nobody else can use
it. That's quite good. You're like dogs.
Oh, we were like animals. It was, yeah.
Spraying your cutlery. Mm-hmm.
And then some boys would spit in their dessert.
Oh, my. Although, frankly, who could tell if it was tapioca or, you know, would just add, But that is quite disgusting, isn't it?
No, it was not nice. I can understand tapioca.
No, you can't. It's
semolina.
No.
No, I can understand the dislike of it.
Oh, okay, good.
But actually, I really like custard. So is it the milk?
No, definitely for tapioca, semolina and rice pudding, it's the texture. Mm. Definitely. But custard also used to have that horrible bloody skin. They used to make it. And then it would sit on the side for ages. So by the time you couldn't pour it. It was in a jug, but you couldn't pour it because it was thick. And they used to also have chocolate custard that used to have with tinned pears.
Mm.
Why would you tin a pear? They're so delicious. Why would you put it in a tin? Anyway, and they used to have this chocolate fucking custard. Oh, my God. And I never eat custard. And one time, with a celebration, somebody's birthday, we went out to, you know, Simpsons on the Strand or somewhere uber, you know, lovely and posh and everything. And they all had this beautiful yellow custard with lots of flecks of the vanilla in it. And all of these brown flecks. And I was kind of looking at it and they're going, oh, wow, this is the best custard I've ever tasted. You have to taste this because it's not, you know, it will get you over it. And to be very fair, it was divine. It was completely silky, smooth and creamy and delicious and vanilla-y and lovely. But I'll only eat it there.
Yeah. But all the other custards was made with custard powder.
Yeah.
Birds. Yeah. Really, the British now don't really make custard. They make crème anglaise.
Right, that was probably crème anglaise that I had, wasn't it?
Yes. It's much less glutinous.
Right.
The custard we used to make, that my mum used to make, was very thick. But the
like
stuff
Angel Delight, that's the other thing I hated as well.
Oh, God, no, horrible.
But the same sort of process. You put, powder and a liquid and that's it done.
Mm.
But if you make custard, it's egg, isn't it? It's egg and...
Well, it's supposed to be, but I think hardly anybody ever did that. They would basically take milk and put custard powder in it.
Yeah.
Because they'd all been through the war, that's what you did, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Bird's custard powder.
Bird's custard, yeah. Mm. And the chocolate one, what would that... I don't think it had any chocolate in it. It just had, you know, brown colouring.
Probably cocoa powder, maybe, do you think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of it just to make it go a bit brown. Didn't taste of chocolate.
No, it was horrible,
because that was the only bit about it that
it never went... Chocolate. You're right, it was with pears.
And those pears used to go kind of all sort of woolly round the edge because they'd been in a tin, poor things. And if you think about eating a delicious comfort, you know, yummy, so crispy and delicious... And then these ones are kind of all woolly and sort of, and that, they were vile.
I'm going to put them all in there. Tapioca, semolina. Semolina. Who would eat that? Ugh.
But then you see, you know, it is the kind of, would you have a Mars bar or would you have a bag of crisps? See, I'd always have a bag of crisps.
Mm.
So there has been arguments to say, but you really like risotto, which is basically savoury rice pudding.
It is.
I wish I hadn't said that because I am on slightly dog. Yeah, because I love risotto. It's yumsky and lots of Parmesan cheese. Yum. Mm. Delicious. Really nice chicken stock. Yum.
Not hot milk.
Not hot milk. And the arborio rice is much nicer than warm pudding rice, is that kind of very gluten. Well, anyway, let's not. I'm just showing how contradictory I am, really, actually.
That's fine.
My convictions are quite weak.
Yes. Like most of us.
Yeah. Rice pudding? No, thank you. Apple crumble and custard? No, thanks very much. That's very kind.
So, in fact, when you look at it, nearly every pudding for you is ruined by the fact that it's got one of these elements in it.
Except chocolate.
Maybe they should make a pudding out of crisps.
Crisp pudding.
When you come round, even though you're obviously not going to eat at my house, you'd rather starve.
Yeah, I would, actually.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, I just have the crisp pudding. I don't want the tomato sauce with the bloody skins in it. But I'll just go straight to the crisp pudding, please.
All right. Well, I'm going to seal up the time capsule for you, Anne. What lovely memories. And thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have been listening to My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens, and my unexpected guest, Anne Bryson. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, then we have plenty of others, some almost as old as this one, which I think still stand the test of time. Have a listen to them and let me know what you think. We, that's me and My Time Capsule, are on social media, or you can email us on mytimecapsulepodcast@gmail.com. Please do leave a comment or review of this podcast if you have something nice to say. We do appreciate it. Or, of course, you can just rate us. The theme tune by Pass the Peas Music is available on Spotify. And this was a cast-off production for Acast. If you fancy hearing the bonus podcast, My Time Capsule The Debrief, then you can get it by sponsoring us through Acast Plus. You can also get this podcast ad and or sponsorship free. Details in the description of this podcast. Of course, our producer was John Fenton Stevens. Many thanks to Anne for allowing this, what we thought was a private conversation, to go public. And thanks for joining us. We'll be back with many more new episodes very soon. So subscribe and you'll be sent each one as it comes out. In the meantime, or nice time, if you're lucky enough, I'll leave you with this joke from the Suffolk Gazette from lockdown, just after Anne and I made this recording. They very kindly put a joke in the paper every day to keep people's spirits up, and this is one that appealed to me. The rest, of course, depressed everybody awfully. Anyway, here it is. I invented a new word yesterday. Yeah, it's plagiarism. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.